Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Thanks, Cards Against Humanity. Hey, Kellen.
Hey, Tim.
Where do we get these fine sponsors?
Well, Tim, let me tell you, we are part of the Chicago Podcasting Cooperative.
Been with them for about a year now.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We are definitely in there. We have become veterans of the cooperative. We get a special stamp on our card.
Yep.
At the black mass that we have every full moon, we get an extra vial of virgin blood, which is a real perk. But enough about that. Let me tell you about why the Chicago Podcasting Co-op is important. It takes us, entertainers, comedians, in quotes, in the Chicagoland area and connects them with producers of goods and services to make a lovely mixture, a cake in your ears of podcasting goodness.
Ew.
Come on. That's a good thing. Ear cake, man. Who doesn't want ear cake?
What?
I'm going to trademark and hashtag ear cake for future reference, by the way. And check us out on Chicago Podcasting Co-op on Twitter, on the web. No Facebook group yet, so get on that.
All right. Get on it, you guys.
That social media platform, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
it's
a bunch
of places.
I think people like it. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Kellen, there's a bunch of different shows that are part of the CPC.
Oh, there are a ton of shows.
And one that we want to talk about today.
Clayton, which one should we talk
about
today?
Clayton, which one?
Oh, man. That's a great question. One that I was expecting and know the answer to. I was going to say, you should go listen to MBSing.
Hey!
She's actually coming up on an anniversary. I do.
Three-year anniversary. Yeah. She's doing a call-in special. Check that out.
And if you want to hear our three-year anniversary show, good luck, because we do not know what day it is most of the time.
We probably should have started counting.
Should have figured that out a while ago.
It's not our job, guys.
But yeah, go listen to the MBSing one instead. It's a really fun show. Yeah. Mary Beth Smith's part of, she's part of the Nerdlogs.
Who doesn't like her?
But and a desperately cool person. And I say desperately there because I was trying to come up with an adjective on the spot. Much like this whole thing.
Yeah.
Kellen, I'm going to punt it back to you now.
Thanks so much, Clayton. Tim, if people wanted to do something for us, something nice out of the goodness of their own heart, is there a platform for podcasts?
Is there a charity they can give to?
Is there something they can do on the internet to maybe show some love and respect to us?
Go to iTunes and look up The Nerdlogs Presents Talking Games and give us them sweet 5 stars or give us a review. If you put something in that, some text in that review, we will read it on the air.
And I want to continue the thing that I was hoping someone was going to do. We will review you.
We'll review you. We'll do, I think we once called for impressions. Mm-hmm. We'll do the impressions that you put in the review.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Don't make us embarrass ourselves socially. Point is.
Socially.
Also, another way you can support us, go to Patreon, throw some bones at the Nerdlogs. And I think we normally talk to someone about Patreon, don't we?
I might be forgetting something. There's someone that we usually, when we mention the name Patreon, someone appears out of the void.
Anyways, let's keep going.
Yeah. Hello.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I am late. I am Patreon.
All hail Patreon.
That's right.
Hello, Ms. Patreon.
Hello.
Finally.
At last, Tim. Though I don't thank you for assuming my gender like that the first time. That was wrong of you, Tim.
You know what?
Do that to Patreon.
I assumed you were a Ms. You might be a Mrs. for all I know. I don't
know. Right, Tim. Yeah. That's right. You fucked up again, but I didn't catch it this time.
No, the plug.
You had to point it
out. If I don't know.
Patreon, there was a Netflix show you wanted to talk to us about
briefly. That's right. Sorry, Patreon is yelling so much. Sometimes it's easier on Patreon's voice to just yell. Wanted to talk about that show, Love.
Yeah,
you guys seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's kind of quirky. If you
yeah, it's just okay, right?
Yeah.
Patreon,
I think that's fair
too.
Yeah,
that's why Patreon wanted to bring it up because of how mediocre it was. Patreon,
it's kind of like thoughts. It sounds like something an LA comedian would write if they're really into LA comedy,
right?
Yeah,
sort of Diablo Cody-esque.
Very Diablo Cody-esque.
You know what Patreon means.
Yeah, we get it. You don't need to keep winking at us, please. Your giant eye is very, I'm going to say aggressive.
Thank you. Every blink is also a wink, for Patreon has only the one giant eye.
Yes, all hail Patreon.
All hail Patreon. Well, Patreon's going to go.
Later. Well, we went back to doing long intros, didn't we?
Here's the show. Why did Patreon not give a reason, do you wonder? Oh, my God.
Okay, Eric, there's your edit point. Everybody, welcome to Talking Games. If this is your first outing with us, sorry about that intro. And second, this is a video game podcast from people who do stuff in the Chicago comedy and or creative communities.
Yeah.
We have people from all over, but we had two guests who could not make it today.
Yeah.
And that's all fine.
That's right. 0-2 so far.
Yeah, you know what? Our friends have been getting older and having kids, and you can't really fault them sometimes about the kids thing.
No.
Just can't do it.
You only say that because Kellen's here, but if Kellen weren't here, we would go off on having kids so bad.
You can go off even though I'm here. It's all right. I get it.
Ooh.
My son's been getting in the way of me playing some Doom recently, so
sure.
I got some rage to get out. Not like this is recorded or anything, and he could eventually find this.
Right.
Let's get real. Kids aren't going to be listening to the podcast in 10 years.
Mm-hmm,
no. Oh, God. I said that 10 years ago, though. So. How do we do this show, though? We start out with
what are we playing?
And if this is their first time, we should probably introduce ourselves as well. Just to continue that idea. Yeah.
I'm Tim Dunn, to my left.
That would be you.
Thank you, Kellen, reminding me who I am. Clayton Margeson. And across from me, to Tim's right, I would just like everyone to remember.
Kellen Terrence.
Hey, that's us.
There we go.
You just said it was you.
I know, I could have, but that's not... You looked at the ground, and I wanted to make sure you knew what your left was.
No, I was doing it in my head.
Okay, cool, yeah. cool.
Last week, we did some questions from you. This week, we're just going to cover a new story that
a
we
new
found
story,
interesting.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
First, Clayton, what you been playing?
All right.
One quick thing before that.
What?
Did you watch some of that sweet Great Minds with Dan Harmon?
No.
Oh,
I haven't watched it yet.
I really got to check that out.
I watched a little bit at the beginning, and then I got super busy with work.
Oh,
gotcha. So I have been playing a lot of Doom. I actually beat it since
the last episode where
Colin recommended it. I couldn't stop playing. I really was like, I'm done. Like, I'm gonna stop.
How long is that campaign?
I think you could probably do it in 6 to 10 hours.
Yeah,
maybe
so
max.
Shooter length.
Yeah, it just depends on what you want to do. Like, there's all these runes that are in there, and that like gives you certain sort of perks. It depends on like how much like of the secret stuff you want to find.
Okay,
I thought I had explored like crazy. I really was like, there's got to be nothing left in this level. And then I get to the end, and it's like, nope.
No, there are four secrets. Like, I think I usually get about two secrets, even though I'll get all of the little. The figurines, there's a lot of stuff in the game that is still yet to be found.
Those figurines,
great.
I want one of those so bad.
Yeah.
You can get little Doom Marine figurines.
They're like little Funko Marines. They'll play the
original Doom music. Yeah. They're like, boom, boom,
cool.
boom, 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 boom. And it's so cute and it's so vibe. Like, I want one of these like crazy. But I also played a lot of Red Dead Redemption. I got kind of... like sick of it at one point and had to like step away. It was at the point where I was like, all right, now we're going back to Blackwater and there's more guys. And I'm like, oh, this is starting to get really annoying.
So you didn't finish it.
I did still.
Oh,
finish.
You did. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
But the pacing, once you go,
once you
go across the border to Mexico, the game, the pace changes. It really opens up and then you have to finally go back and then you go to Blackwater and it slows down a ton.
It's really strange because it's like, we know where the guy is.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of like dicking around. Whereas like in the first half of the game, it feels like you're on your own. You're trying to figure it out. You're like making alliances and stuff like that. And it's all kind of like, okay, this is cool build up. But then when you kill that guy, it's like, now you got to kill another guy. And it's like, what? Like, it's very weird. But after that, when you go back to the ranch, it picks right back up and you're like, okay, cool. This is my life now. I'm happy again. And you get killed, spoiler alert, in a very old game that we've talked about.
You normally say spoiler
times.
Alert before you say you get killed.
No,
I'm just pointing that out.
That is a very good point. But that's not the end of the game, I found out recently. And because I thought that was the end, because there are no missions after that.
Right. Oh, that's right. You skipped
this. You have
this
to
last
go
time.
Find a side mission that is the epilogue. And I'm like, what kind of bullshit is this?
It's not bullshit. It's
I liked
great.
It.
It's amazing.
The epilogue is great, but I was just annoyed that it was like a secret mission. Yeah. I was like, what? No.
Yeah. I still
made me so mad.
Like bad dude you're chasing toward the end. I still have like
Dutch?
a vision in my mind of like him. There's a point where he's in a bank with a woman in front of him, and he just shoots the woman straight in the head and then runs away. And I can still like see that. I was like, I can't believe they just did.
Yeah, that was so. I mean, even like I think a big part of it for me is getting a bit older and kind of, you know, like identifying more with John Marston and being like, okay, I get this guy now. And I relate to him a little bit more than when I was a kid. And I was like, what's this guy trying to prove? I don't understand.
Like, well, I also think like the game didn't make any sense in terms of the other games that were out at the time.
Yeah.
Where it's like now you look at that game and there are so many elements of like the sort of emptiness and the sort of starkness of that sort of world. And we were kind of even talking a little bit, you know, before the podcast today online, just talking about like, well, Marston isn't a good guy. He's not a true hero. Like, he's really just trying to get it done, not even to protect his family. He's just trying to get through the day. And I think that was an outlier idea at that time. And now you're seeing that become more and more prevalent in video games. It's great.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that more. Sure. But, that's pretty much. Oh, and I went back and played some Dark Souls 3. And God damn if I don't still really enjoy it. I'm like,
have you beaten Dark
game.
Souls 3 yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm doing a new game plus, and I'm trying to find all the stuff I didn't find before. Yeah. And the little bit that I've, like, got so far, I love. I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe I missed this on the first playthrough. Like, this is awesome. Just a couple storylines that are really satisfying and fun, which wasn't really the case, I felt like, in a lot of the other Dark Souls games.
No,
or
so even
Bloodborne.
Nice.
I could not
tell you the story of Dark Souls.
Oh, man, I could, and I will, Tim.
Well, maybe we'll have you on the podcast.
All you need to do is ask. Okay. How about today? We don't have a guest.
So now the segment.
Your special guest, Clayton Margesen.
Kellen's going to talk about his games while I go get a beer.
Oh, very good.
I've wore Tim down. You know, he's been a recovering alcoholic for 10 years.
Yeah, but today.
And I just broke him.
Just crushed him. Crushed him with his skull. Now I've just been playing Doom. Doom's still really fun. I'm taking my time. I'm really not going through it too quickly. I just got to, I'm in hell now. And I've just been like, I just want to take it like a little chapter by chapter. I'm not going to go too hard on it. Some work buddies of mine are playing The Division right now. So I've kind of gotten back into The Division because they'll we'll go into the Dark Zone and.
Oh, sorry. What's up?
No. So I'm playing that with them. Tomorrow there's going to be a big update, which will kind of solve a lot of the problems. But that game is still a job in a lot of sense. It's not
The Division?
The Division,
Didn't we love it when we first played
it? Well, we loved it because the sort of overworld was fun, and then you have to go into the PvP world. Well, now they're finally releasing a thing that's going to make all of New York playable again.
Oh, okay.
So there's a reason to like complete all the missions and other stuff. So they're balancing some things out, which I think will be fun. It's going to be a game that I'll play maybe like once a week right now. I'm kind of getting back into Rocket League because I have a lot of friends who are like trying to get good at it. And it's like one of those things where it's like Michael Jordan gets popular and suddenly all your friends want to play basketball. And it's just like, we're not good at this game. Guys are like, no, we're going to be good. We're going to get a team together. I'm like, no, we're not ever going to be good at this game. Like, it's a fun party game, but it's not like it. Like when we were playing with Strauss and Ryder, that was fun to do. That was a blast. But like, I don't want to go on that game and get beat by strangers.
I also don't want to put in the time to get good.
No, not at all. Yeah. I did play a Division with Tim over the weekend, which was fun. He's very good at that game.
Ryder?
Feel good. Yeah, Ryder.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I felt like I was like, oh, cool, Tim, we can ride together through the streets. It was good. So.
A pun on his last name.
Nice. Unintentional pun. Tim, what have you been playing?
You know what? I don't know if I told you guys, I bought this old like PS2 RPG called Rogue Galaxy a few weeks ago. And
it's part of the PS2 Classics.
Yes, it was on, it was part of a flash sale.
And you weren't that into it last time, right?
I wasn't. It's like slowly growing on me, but I've never skipped more cutscenes during a JRPG in my life.
Yeah.
It's just like I see a cutscene where an old man is talking to a child, and I'm like, I don't ever need to know this. At all.
I have my own story here.
I don't care what's going on. Yeah. There's like, I honestly don't think I would stick around if I didn't like the crafting system of all things.
Oh, okay.
Like the,
cool.
the battle
How
is
funny.
Yeah, the the battle system is like Kingdom Hearts, and the game itself is, it's like a not as good KOTOR. It's like it's space based. You got four planets you zip around to, but then the crafting system is one of those like. You have this dude that you bring around with you, and you give him two weapons, and then it gets you get a better one from those two. And there is something in my brain that is like, oh, I want to find out, like, what are the combinations? That
oh,
we,
oh
interesting.
Because,
okay.
like, does it make, like, a unique kind
yes,
of weapon
yeah,
out of the two?
Right.
Yeah, that would get
I like
me.
That.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'd be like, oh, I want to see all the different combinations yeah. of weapons
right.
I can make. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's I mean, fun. Chainsaw.
Yeah.
So I've
Irish
been playing that,
doorknob.
And then on they had another flash sale this weekend, and I picked up. I never played the full Wolf Among Us, so I picked up that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
very excited about that. Outlast, I never played Outlast.
Yeah, I got Outlast.
Oh,
as well.
Is that
great. Right? Yeah, I picked up. I also
oh,
got
God,
Alien because
so
Alien
good.
Was on sale on Amazon
oh,
like,
nice.
A couple weeks ago for like $4, so I got both of those. I
Wait, what was the last one?
Alien. I haven't gotten. Yeah, so I'm gonna put that in soon.
And then,
oh
man,
Outlast is
that's
so
what I hear.
Scary.
And Lisa's a fan of horror movies, so yeah. I think she's really gonna like that. And then,
God, just remembering parts of it now.
Oh, Transistor man. Sucks on my computer, so I picked it up for PS4.
Yeah.
And those three are only like $15, which is great. Mm-hmm.
Man, you picked up a lot of great. Between the two of you, you picked a lot of great games.
Yeah. Up top.
There
we go.
Transistor is fucking amazing. Oh, man. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Look
of
out
you
for
guys.
Those flash sales. Like,
yeah, they're great.
That was like $65 mm-hmm. worth of games for like 15.
yeah, I don't mean to brag.
on mobile, I've been playing this game called Year Walk. Have you guys heard of
Year
this?
Year Walk is great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I played
a little bit
out.
Of it.
It's,
yeah.
it's beautiful. It is scary. I can't tell if I'm at a section that has a bug or not because I'm trying to find these seemingly dead babies that I'm collecting. Across the maps.
Yep. That's about where I stopped because I was like,
I can't tell if I'm missing something or if there's a part of a puzzle.
I think it's intentional
out.
To make you frustrated.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's not a bug. I can tell you it's not a bug.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a game that would have bugs.
No.
It seems very polished.
Yes.
So I got to go find that dead baby.
Yep.
And then I really want to pick up 999. It's an old DS or 3DS game that they transferred to iOS into a visual novel format.
Oh, neat.
That seems pretty cool.
Cool.
But we pretty
Is
much
that about birds. You trying to fuck birds?
I'm trying to fuck birds. Is what I'm saying.
I get it. I get it.
Kellen, why don't you tell us about this article you sent us?
So Kotaku today published an article interviewing, I believe, one of the heads of Square Enix talking about what he describes as the Final Fantasy disease. And this idea of something that prevents people within the studio from innovating. Stopping them from actually being able to do something so good to change the game to make it better because their own ideals about what Final Fantasy is supposed to be do not allow them to change or adapt or grow. And
which is nuts.
Nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts because there I have so
it's
many
like
feelings
the Simpsons
about
writers
it.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's like there and Tim and I were talking about this before. It's like this could translate into any artistic outlet. This could be Chicago comedy. This could be, you know, you and Mike doing, you know, your own shows.
Oh,
and it's
Sovereign.
we're doing fine. Sovereign is great right now. It's like, well, we want to get better, but it's like, no, we wanted to stay this own way. But in terms of the microcosm that is Final Fantasy, a very niche style game that we all have a lot of positive feelings about and have our own idea of what the ideal Final Fantasy is, to hear that there are people within the own studio that are struggling with that makes me have a lot of, empathy for those developers. Who often seem like they are soulless robots who are only interested in making money.
Yeah.
If I can say my opinion. So.
That totally makes sense to me now. Yeah, because it's like, how are they not getting it?
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst. it's like feeding into its own stereotype. And it's like, but if you think that's not the stereotype, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's right. It is what it is because they made that game.
Sure. I mean, but Final Fantasy is such a aberration in video games, too, because, like, everyone is a little different.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they're all Japanese role-playing games.
Yes.
That's what they are. But then, you know, Final Fantasy VIII is a very different experience than a Final Fantasy VI or a Final Fantasy X.
Man, can you even imagine? Like, if those were set in, like, the same universe, it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me. Like, Squall over here has a gun and a sword. And, like, there's, like, witches and shit. Like, Final Fantasy VI, where they're like, we have, like, magic-fueled machinery. And it's like, what the fuck is this garbage? Like, yeah, it'd be but, so I mean, nuts.
When you think about it in the larger sense of what video games are, there's no other stories that are non-linear that way. Like, think of another franchise that's like, well, no, like, we're going to make a series of games, but none of these games are connected. Like, what if the Mario Brothers, like, I guess Legends of Zelda would be the only game that would be similar to that, but like,
I feel like you have so much more breathing room.
Maybe Dark Souls too. Yeah. Some of the Dark Souls games, they feel like they're like thematically linked.
Yeah, but like, it's not like, well, the end of Dark Souls 1 goes into Dark Souls 2.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. But like,
I don't know.
3 is like this weird echo of like 1. And it's really interesting how that stuff will like kind of come together in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my brain, like, there are the things that make a Final Fantasy game a Final Fantasy game. You got a guy named Sid.
I was really trying to start a chant there.
Yeah.
Chocobos.
Yeah.
Koopos.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things like that.
Sid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
White and black magic.
Phoenix,
you know,
Down.
Right.
Like, yeah, there are certain stylistic things.
Does that mean I'm like, I got the disease, you know? Because I'm like,
maybe.
Well, like, what if a Chocobo's not a game, like, not in the game? I'd be like, what the fuck with this shit?
Well, I think for me, like, Final Fantasy VI is probably my favorite. And so, like, there are certain times where I'm like, I just wanted to go back to sprites. I just wanted to go back to simple sort of, like, turn-based role-playing with sprites. Because there's something that's more tolerable with the sort of, like, heavy melodrama that, like, that game is known for. Like, you take the script of Final Fantasy VI and you put it in the Final Fantasy XIII engine and it's intolerable. But when there's sprites,
that's true,
it's tolerable.
Or even if it was like, you remember the art? This was like my favorite thing when I was a kid, would be like flipping through the book that came with it.
Because
the art was unreal. Like, Cecil in the book looked like this weird, like, samurai painting, you know? In the game, he was a sprite because that's, you know, the best approximation of what they could do. I'm like, I always wanted them to take the art in the book and make that into the game, you know, like realize that in 3D or whatever.
Yeah.
But when they do, it's like, what the fuck is this? Because they still want it to look like fucking Gears of War or some shit. So it's like, what the hell is this? I just can't. Yeah, I think it's the same thing.
I mean, like, I would love something that was like, you take the cel-shaded art of like a Valkyria Chronicles. Mm. If you did that with Final Fantasy, I would love that. I think the closest thing they've come to that is FF9 had a very cartoonish look to it.
Yeah.
But I know you're not a fan.
I like it more now than I did originally. Sometimes you just gotta go back, replay a game, man.
Sure. But like, in terms of gameplay, like, I think, like, we talk about openness, but there is certain parameters with a Final Fantasy game. Because if it was a strategy element to it, then it's not that anymore. Then it's tactics.
Yeah.
Or then you have to throw another word onto the end. But if it's, like, a numerical Final Fantasy game, then it is, I guess, 3 or 4 people in a party. turn-based or active time. I don't know.
Right.
I think this one is active time.
Yeah, it's active time in the... It's not active time where you can sort of like switch between the characters. I think it's going to be you can be one character and like the other guys are doing things around you. Who knows?
So like Dragon Age, right?
Yeah, like Dragon Age.
Okay. Which is fine as long as, you
know.
The thing that pumped me out, honestly, about this article was that it's already getting negative reviews.
Yeah.
That doesn't shock me that much, I guess.
No?
I don't know. I just, when I first saw it, I was like, I don't know about this. Looks like more of the same shit. Like, it just doesn't look like they learned any lessons, which I think is what the article really, like, points out very well.
But, I mean, and I don't want to someone want to play devil's advocate, but, like, I was thinking about Capcom and I was thinking about Konami. Here are companies that are giants in an industry with millions and millions of people, but still in a market that is very, very tiny. You know, I think we sort of... romanticize Japanese video game developers in a way where like, oh my god, they know so much and they're so great. But in reality, they are in this tiny little market, and the people who buy their games only know that.
Yeah.
You know, versus us, we have a much deeper sort of palette for video games because we get stuff from the Americas, we get stuff from Europe, we get stuff from there. And so there's a level where it's like they're going to keep making things the way they're going to make it. Because that's mostly what they succeed at, and because that's what they know is going to sell.
And these corporations depend on that.
They depend on it. Yeah. Like, look at Nintendo, for example. Like, there is a company that could iterate amazing things, and yet they don't. They take, like, millimeter steps forward, you know? And you can say it's like, oh, but what about the innovation of the Wii and the 3DS? It's like, no. Those are small, small pivots on a very simple product. They're not doing anything different, you know?
Yeah.
You could say it's like, oh, yeah, they you know, we wouldn't have a 6-axis if they hadn't had the 64, but it's like they're not really doing much else in terms of the IP versus the...
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's more what I'm thinking about, too. It's like
IP
changes. It's you're not seeing that. And we're also sort of to blame for that. We don't want to see something new, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, you're right. Nintendo has like 7 franchises that they go back to again and again and again. But I also, I'm not familiar with, like, what is the Steam of Japan? Like, is it just what we get? Is it Steam? You know, like, is there
a good question.
Big indie market in Japan, or do people mostly stick to the game developers?
Who knows?
I imagine it's more... I think it's more of an indie market, probably.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it's just like they probably use Steam in my mind.
I mean, sure. I think Steam would probably be question. Worldwide that way.
World War? Oh, boy.
What?
Here
Don't
we go.
Don't mention the Germans.
Yeah. Japanese.
Ooh.
Every time we talk about the Japanese is what happens.
Oh, God. I am curious to see what you guys would think, though, if you take a beloved franchise.
Sure.
And again, I haven't finished Uncharted 4, okay? But there's a level where it's like they're not doing crazy things with that franchise. They're sticking to it. But if they made 8 Uncharted games and every single time Nathan Drake was somehow in the tropic area and it's a lot of climbing and a lot of stuff, and in the end he's like, boy, Elena, I don't know why we keep doing this, but we do. Sunset, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? Like, there's a level where it's like, well, they're doing the same thing over again, and it works every single time to a certain degree, but that there is that sort of level of they don't want to change because why change when it keeps selling, right?
Yeah, yes and no. I think with this one, I would have been disappointed with the game had it not been for the epilogue.
Sure.
Which, again, we will talk about maybe next week.
Maybe.
Don't know.
But you're right. It's the gameplay with Uncharted in my mind. But even this one, I was kind of like, you know, I've done this before. I've...
Grappling hooks, man.
Hey, that's fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And the weird, like, the thing you can stick into the rock.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
That part's fun, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's great. What's that called? Petard?
Python?
Painting?
It's a painting.
Painting.
You just shove a fucking painting.
There's a painting around all the time. But I honestly...
Stab.
I was,
did you guys, real quick, did you guys get the Guybrush Threepwood reference?
I did not get it, but I saw it online.
Yeah. So the third pirate that they're talking about is Guybrush Threepwood. It's a reference to Monkey Island.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And supposedly, The Last of Us, in some way, is in this universe.
What?
Which bums me the fuck out. Maybe it's an
it's
alternate universe.
It's all fun
universe.
And games now, but just wait a few years.
But
the legs are coming.
In Uncharted 3, he finds a newspaper where it's like, you know, I can't remember if it was a mold or a spore.
Yeah.
Spore. Like, is found in the... it's a newspaper that just covers the finding
weird.
Of the spore.
Weird.
Yeah.
That makes me wonder about the epilogue even more.
Oh.
It's moments before the apocalypse.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
That's really funny. How sad.
But I would still, and I would say this is the same thing about the movie industry right now, I would still so much rather see the money for like an Uncharted 5 given to 20 different developers to just make different weird shit. Like, go fail, make something strange.
And it's that failure.
Go make
thing,
a jazz
you know?
Punk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Jazz Punk can work because, I mean, Jazz Punk is made by Adult Swim, you know?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like they're making their money from television and they're investing in the video game industry. You don't see that happening very much. I mean, fuck Disney, who prints fucking money, can't get Disney Infinity to work, you know?
Oh, sorry. I am touching some weird thing under the table.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were
doing. I am so sorry.
No, that's all right. I was just
trying to make it stop making noise. And it made a bunch of noise.
Yeah, but it's like
professionalism on this podcast.
That's a level of.
That's what we ask for.
There's a company who makes money outside the video game industry who's saying we can't make money in the video game industry, which makes me wonder if the sort of golden age of video games we've experienced for the last 10 years is slowly shrinking the way it often does.
We've talked about this before. It like if, and I think it also ties into our crunch time discussion we had not so long ago, where it's like maybe the cost of just making these big AAA video games is just going to be undoable at a certain point. You know, especially if
that's
they have
a good,
to,
yeah, that's a really good point.
If they have to lean on practices like that, and that's thought of as the norm,
or they have to also export stuff where it's like, all right, Nathan Drake is going to be selling footlongs. And then we're also going to have a tap-out game. We're going to have a game on the Android system. It's going to be great. And then, yeah, I guess the video game itself would be fine, but we got to make sure we're selling those season passes, because if we're not selling season passes, guys, what's the fucking point of this, right? Like, it seems like the monetization of the game is so much bigger than just, like, let's just make the fucking game.
Yeah.
You know? And the crunch time, I bet it doesn't even, nowadays, it doesn't end at the game, because it's like, game was released, but we're already working on DLC.
Bugs.
We're already working on patches. Yeah, it's just like, it never ends. I'm like, it seems like crunch time is becoming, like, I'm worried it's going to just extend, like, forever for these game developers. And it's like, you're just going to burn out so
fast. When I was still playing Destiny and Taken King came out, there was so much of a backlash about 2 months afterwards saying, like, well, where is the content? What are you guys working on? And it's like, what are they working on? They're working on Destiny 2. Like, if that's what they're doing right now. And they have the quote-unquote live team, who's probably six developers who have the responsibility to create content for a game that has millions and millions of players. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, this was not the sort of, you know, timeline of how a video game comes out when there's so many people interested in it. It's really scary.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying.
On this show, we sometimes it's like 2 weeks we're in love with the game, and then it's like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yikes.
That happens to me a lot more these days.
Yeah.
I don't know how, I really will be like, man, I am all about this. And then it's like, what is this game?
Yeah.
I'm done.
Well, so I was thinking about, again, going back to Final Fantasy, and it's, I think more than any other game I've ever played, the gameplay is secondary to the characters that, and the characters are so shallow. It's not like in a Final Fantasy game, if you were to take a pie chart, like, yeah, a majority of the game you're probably fighting, but there's not really much to the fighting. Mm-hmm. So they have to create these giant stories and these not even set pieces. I guess I'm thinking of more the.
No, I think you're right to some regard.
But it's like there's a level where it's like, going back to this idea of the disease, I don't think it's the gameplay that they're even talking about. I think it's those elements of like, well, we need to have these characters be a certain way because that's what a Final Fantasy game is, you know? Because it's not like the gameplay is really changing much. There's small steps left and right, but the thing that is not changing is the crazy ass storyline. These crazy. Well, we got to make lightning, and we got
to have a part where he goes to space.
Yeah.
Know,
oh, we got to have a part where I don't know. I'll be blue in the face saying how much I love Final Fantasy X, and you know, like that game is insane.
Oh, absolutely.
Terms of what you're doing in that game.
Yeah,
but. I love that story.
Yeah, me too.
And even it had some interesting kind of gameplay stuff. Like it was almost like a rock, paper, scissors type thing with like types of attack and enemy types and stuff like that. And you could switch people out mid-battle. Yeah. And there were things like that. I'm like, okay, yeah, that was cool. I liked sort of how everyone felt like they were participating. And the sphere system was interesting.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff was really cool. And then it just seemed like it got like, chuck the fuck out because they were like, well, now we need to make things that are more like real time and not turn-based. I'm like,
yeah, it
fuck
seems
off,
like
dude,
it's, you know, and I can't think year to year what their thought process was, but sometimes they're innovating and sometimes they're just chasing what everybody's doing
yeah.
at any given time, and it feels like
that's
lately,
really
they've
exactly
been doing
it.
A lot of chasing.
Basically since 11, because 11 was like online.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people say good things about 14 as an MMO. I haven't played it.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, it's an MMO.
Yeah. I almost feel like in a certain way, those like aren't canonical.
Yeah. I mean, I also don't think an MMO is a game. I think an MMO is a job.
Sure.
You know, like I can't really say, why people play MMOs in certain ways, because it's like there's barely gameplay. All you're doing, you might as well just be entering in data, because you're just doing same thing again and again and again.
Just
you
grinding.
Yeah. I don't fucking know, man.
There's part of me that wishes Square would just give Final Fantasy to just somebody else for like
question we had last week.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, give it to like a fucking even Bethesda or someone like that.
Yeah, sure.
But I think I would say that Bethesda fell into the same sort of thing with Fallout 4, though. You know, where it's like these games are created in a vacuum, and they're like, I think Final Fantasy X was ahead of its time, and so it's like that's when it works. But the problem is when there's a giant shift in gameplay, because it's like we're thinking about this game being like, well, it takes them a year maybe, but it's like this game. Like, probably Final Fantasy 15, it's taken them
3 or 4, you know, probably 5 years.
It was announced 10 years ago, you know, and it's like they keep changing, they keep changing. Doom, for example, I was listening to the Giant Bomb podcast. I mean, that's a game that's been in development for 6 years, and three years into development, they canned everything and they restarted.
Wow, that's so much money lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And
it's
just
like
Baron
Munchausen type shit.
Yeah, I think there's a level of the video game industry that, you know, it just can't keep up with itself. Like a movie can change. It's like a 6 to 8 week film schedule.
Reshoots.
They can do a lot of stuff with that with a video game. I just don't think, because of the size and because of the way video games, the aesthetic of video games were, the standards, the sort of baseline of the way it's supposed to look, the way it's supposed to feel, I just don't think it can keep up with itself.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, do you think so? Let's say Final Fantasy VII is mediocre. Or not, sorry, seven. Final Fantasy 15 is mediocre.
Yeah.
Do you think that is
Let's talk about Final Fantasy VII.
But I mean, that's coming out though. That's the thing, though.
You're right. The remake is coming out.
The remake is coming out, and it's episodic in the sense where it's like, well, we're probably gonna have 5 episodes, and they'll come out over the next 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird.
I mean, do you think, If Final Fantasy 15 bombs, is that how bad is that for Square?
I can tell you it's not going to bomb.
Yeah.
There's no way Final Fantasy 15 bombs.
I mean, 13 didn't bomb, and that's widely disliked.
Yeah. But I think I bought Final Fantasy 13, never finished it.
Same
I think because
here.
It's Final Fantasy, everyone's going to buy it, which is it's the Ouroboros of it, where it's like, well, there's problems. It's all going to fall apart. What happens if it doesn't do well? Well, everyone still goes out and buys it because it's Final Fantasy, you know?
Yeah.
It's the Thor 2 Ragnarok video games.
Very good. Ragnarok is the
upcoming you're right.
Movie.
Thor 2 Dark World.
Dark World. Right. There you go. it'll just be another game where people will be like, well, that sucked. And then we're like, well, let's do another one. Because there's 15
next?
Of them, you know? I think a better example is look at like Persona. You know, that's a game where there's 5 personas. It's taken them 5 years to go from Persona 4 to Persona 5. They're releasing in Japan on the same day that Final Fantasy 15 is releasing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And that's them being like, we don't give a shit. We
Damn,
know our
dude.
Game is going to be better. They still haven't released when they're going to localize it for the U.S., but I can't imagine it's going to be much later than that.
No, there's a following in
there's
the
U.S. There's a following in the U.S., and I think there's a game where a lot of things haven't changed, but there's also not enough of it to seem like there's a problem, you know? It's like Halo. It's like Call of Duty. It's like, I'm trying to think of Western examples of this same Final Fantasy.
That are entrenched in their own.
It's like, we're only going to do this thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Fallout was a great example. Yeah. I mean, I didn't play God of War or was it?
Gears of War.
Gears of War.
Yeah. That was
new
definitely...
God of War coming out, supposedly. At E3 announcing, and then a new Gears of War this year.
Sure. I mean, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed was the
one
I was going to say.
Very good, yeah.
You hit certain points, you know, you're going to have missions where you stab people in the neck from behind. We get
long, drawn-out, boring cutscenes.
They make millions of dollars.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're a great example, yeah. Because, you know? And they'll get like pre-orders on that shit.
Yeah, Resident Evil.
Have we not
well.
Learned anything?
But that's not Western. Right?
Well, there is a rumor right now that Resident Evil is going to announce a new Resident Evil game, and it will be not a
like a hard restart.
It's a hard restart in the sense where they want to get back to this idea of like horror, like original
you are
survival.
Powerless.
Yes.
Oh, I would love that.
Yes, and I think that's the weird thing. Like, look at how many copies of Resident Evil 1 are on every single platform. You know?
Oh, sure.
And that game continues to sell, and Capcom can't get it through their fucking head that maybe if they go back and do that, but I think it's because they don't want to go back and do that, you know? That's the other thing for us, I think, is, like, we're commenting outside this world as consumers, and they're artists, and they're like, we don't want to keep doing the same thing. That's boring to us.
Yeah, really?
You know?
I also don't know that they do survival horror necessarily better than the indie market is right now.
Yeah Or they could learn from it. I mean, that's the thing I wonder, is if they're looking at games like The Long Dark or Outlast, or looking at those games and being like, well, what are those games doing that, and they've iterated on what we're doing.
Yeah,
how can we take what they're doing and bring it to a next level, because they have more money than those indie games,
right?
You know,
man, have you played The Long Dark?
Yeah, I played parts of it.
Is it good?
I mean, it's boring.
Because
really? Yeah, but it's boring in the way that I think if you were stranded outside, it would be boring.
I'm actually not familiar. What is
Long Dark? You are out in Alaska, and there has been some sort of plane crash, and it's just you surviving in the Alaskan wilderness.
So there's not a supernatural element to it?
Not yet.
Okay.
There could potentially be, but
it's
there's
still,
as far as you know.
It's still early. Right, yeah. It's still very, very early access. But the mechanics are great. I mean, like, I think as a Boy Scout, I liked it. Because I was like, holy shit, like, there's a level of, like, well, I have to go warm up. I can't just be outside all night.
Oh, that's great.
Like, you know, there's you can take all of these survival games and you can say, well, they're just reskinning an element of Minecraft on it. But, like, you can really take some things specifically from Long Dark and you'd be like, no, they really thought about what would happen if you were standing in the snow for a long period of time. Your fucking toes would freeze off.
So
and
it's
like
kind of like, it's kind of like The Gray.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like The Gray, but The Gray is action-packed. There is very little action in this game, and that's what makes it feel very real to me, is the fact that there are periods of time where you're like, nothing is happening, and that is terrifying. Because you keep thinking in a video game, something's going to happen, and something doesn't happen.
Yeah,
you're just sitting there reading a book while you're like stranded on the island
or
whatever.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, man, this would suck. This would really suck. I highly recommend it. I think it's very, very fun. When action does happen, you are not prepared for it. That's 100% sure. Because you're just like, it's a peaceful game. It's just me versus the fuck, there's wolves!
That's so funny.
Get it on Steam if you can. You know, I think it's 19, and usually you can get you'll get like a 20% discount.
Yeah.
Something like that. 11. I paid 11.
Tell him Kellen sent you.
Tell him I sent you. Give him one of those winks and a nod. Yeah. I mean, just like a lot of stuff here, I think we're on the outside looking in. I think we're not like the internet, like the Redditors, who are like, oh, come on, I want to get the thing that I want so bad.
Don't you think there's a?
Would you call the internet police in here? Okay.
I think I've heard Joss Whedon talk about this before, but like, don't you think that once you are given like the budget that they gave for Final Fantasy 15, once you're given that, doesn't it feel like a prison at a certain point?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I think that's because you're working within a studio system,
right?
You know, I don't think you make that sort of money on your own. And I also think, look at the amount of stuff that's crowdfunded that falls apart, you know?
Oh, sure.
Because you could say like, oh, yeah,
brutal.
We can raise $1 billion or maybe not a billion, but a couple $1 million for crowdfunding a game. And that's just like having a board of directors that's 100,000 people who
that
are
will
gonna
go after you online if you let them down.
You know?
Yeah.
I really think we've talked about it many times here about like the division of gameplay being like, well, we're not going to see any more middle like tier games. Really, the games that are going to continue succeeding are games that are created with small teams of people with a very small budget that are made for a 3 to 6 hour experience.
Sure.
You know? I'm blown away that Doom works. Like, that's
it's
really
so
what
good.
I want to get back to is like, Doom shouldn't work.
Yeah.
And it works on every single level, Tim. I have a disc. I'm going to give it to you. You're going to play it. And you're going to be like, why does this game work? Because what they did is they said, rather than changing what Doom was, rather than looking at Rage and being like, well, let's put Doom out in the desert. They're like, what worked about Doom? What are the systems and the mechanics we have now? Let's put those two weapons together and let's see what sort of new weapon we can make right now. And that's Doom.
That's the BFG, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is unreal how, like, and hard to overstate, like, the effect that it has when you're playing it. Like, it is almost hypnotic how yeah. much fun you're having. Like, how I was, like, laughing at times.
Fun,
it's just, like,
fun.
The nonsense.
Yeah.
And, like, very little to do with the story, unfortunately, because the story was basically, like, it was, you know, it was there, but, like, you know,
yeah.
the ending
yeah.
is really not meant to satisfy.
Oh,
it's, like,
I'm totally on board with games
yeah.
that are fun. You know, story can be secondary if
yeah.
the game is fun enough.
And
absolutely.
It's not like they set, like, they could set this game up about, like, story in terms of a big prologue in the beginning, but they don't.
Yeah.
It's just, boom, you're in. And
right.
you're like, well, why am I here? Why are you here? Pick up the gun and kill that thing. That's why you're here.
Yeah. I did get a little bit of fatigue from some of the cutscenes, mostly because there'll be cutscenes where you can't move at all.
Uh-huh.
And, like, or there'll be someone there and you can't shoot them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on,
come
man.
Come on.
I shot so many things yeah. to get here. I can't shoot this motherfucker. Yeah, stuff like that. But those are very few and far between.
Yep.
And the joy of, like, the platforming stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy how much fun it is.
Yeah. First person platforming?
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh. Think
yeah.
like original Half-Life. Like,
okay.
That
yeah.
level at times of, like, wow, I'm really having to make some tricky jumps here.
Sure. And not punishing. Like, you can set
no.
it to a punishing level.
Yeah.
But even on hard versus very hard or, like, insane, like, it is fun. It's just fun.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stress that enough how fun this game is. And that's why I'm kind of excited. It's like, boy, when you're surprised by an IP being re-released that you thought was dead, it kind of makes you be like, what else could happen?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if people are going to look at Doom and say, well, this worked. I mean, what else can work? You know?
There were a few very, like, really choice boss fights,
yeah.
too. Which you don't see a lot of great boss fights in first-person shooters
yeah.
anymore, I feel like. But these were really fun and, like, they felt like painkiller
yeah.
boss fights. Are you guys familiar with Painkiller?
No.
Semi. Yeah.
It's great. It's so fun. The bosses are, like, crazy, out of control, enormous sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, just these insane fights where they can, a lot of different sort of variations on their attacks and stuff like that.
First-person
really
shooter?
Keep you, yeah.
Oh,
it
okay.
keeps you on your
toes. Like, that's not Serious Sam, which is kind of like a Duke Nukem, like, analog, right?
Or right,
like,
right.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, Painkiller is, like, it's very similar to Doom, almost
okay.
to its detriment. You're like a priest or something who's like been sent to like kill all the demons in
oh,
the world
okay.
or whatever. And you get one gun that's like a stake thrower, and it will pin guys to the wall, and they're like, ah!
Oh, nice. All right, cool.
Yeah, it is the most fun. It's stupid violent. It's really great.
All right.
Get the Painkiller Black Edition.
Ooh,
that's what I got on Steam.
Black Edition.
I play it a lot.
Boy.
I was just talking about boss fights. Sorry.
No. Yeah. I can't think of, like, as a Nintendo fan, I want them to keep making their games, and I don't really want them to change. Like, I don't necessarily want to see crazy innovation with that stuff because I think they kind of nailed it. And, you know, there is a part of me that's like, if they put out a Final Fantasy Tactics game every single year, I'd buy it.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
I would, too.
I wouldn't have any sort of problem with it. But I think we're also talking about artists who aren't interested in doing the same thing over and over again. The reason these people are in this business is because they do want to make money, but they also, there's an artistic element to it, you know? I mean, Spielberg is a giant corporate motherfucker, but he's also still an artist who makes very pretty movies and tells very good stories
right,
because
yeah.
he
right.
considers himself an artist. And even Cliffy B., you know, like when he was still making Gears of War, he considered himself an artist.
Sure. Yeah.
A thick necked gun chainsaw motherfucker.
I'm trying to think of like what it is about 15 right now that worries me a little bit. And I think back on the old Final Fantasies and like there was a sense of wonder to like 10
sure.
and 7 and 6 and a bunch of guys in a car together, there's something about it where I'm like, this doesn't blow my mind. This is
just
like
doesn't have the same effect.
This is just a bunch of guys driving around in a car.
Yeah. I mean, what if it kind of, you know, subverts itself though? Where it's like, rather than the fantasy you're looking for, you're realizing that this is, what if these guys are millennial assholes? Like, what if this is a bunch of LA stuck-up jackasses who happen to have a lot of money and swords and magic powers, and they, you have to go and play them succeeding, and you're like, God damn it. Like, if that's what Final Fantasy 15 is, I will begrudgingly love that game.
That I could so easily see that being what the game is.
If the struggle is them finding their humanity, then I'm in.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
A guy's got to get like a stern talking to from a girl at some point. And he's going to like not look at her because he's like trying to put his hair in his eyes more or some shit. Oh, I can't wait.
I also
it's going to suck.
I don't blame some of the developers for feeling the way that they do about being precious about Final Fantasy. Like, in my mind, Final Fantasy is like sword and magic combat, and then eventually you get an airship and you fly everywhere. Like, that's a Final Fantasy. Yeah.
Or eventually you get access to the gods, and the gods do your fighting for you.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The later Final Fantasy games, yes.
I don't understand. Why did they make them? These newer ones, they bother me so much.
They just have to.
They just don't feel the same. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you, out of any of us, have actually the best sort of connection to what a JRPG should be.
Right. I was gonna say, who's the biggest Final Fantasy fan here? I'd say probably Clayton.
Yeah, probably. I have played a bunch of them. I've loved most of them.
Yeah,
I really have. Like even like 5. Which is great, but I love it.
But, like, but your connection to the, Trials of Good Steel, Trials of Good Steel, that's what I just said. That's just what
it's a court game. Yeah, it's like
Trials of Good Steel.
Let me take one second just to say, apparently, I heard a rumor from a friend of the show, David Dong.
Okay.
Apparently, you know, like this Trials of Cold Steel is pretty good, but it's not the best.
Oh, the new one.
Trials of Cold Steel 2. The one that's coming out in September and I'm going to play.
Goddamn.
Apparently is the best of all of them.
Wow.
Better than Trails in the Sky. Better than all of it. It's like the one. Yeah. Like
my
the one that people are like, this
goodness.
Is the best one of all. So I'm really excited about it. Anyway.
Okay. I think because you are so connected to those games and you put so many lovely hours into those games, you might have
like
a better appreciation for maybe what Final Fantasy is trying to do, or at least that sort of genre, because I think for me, I'm kind of, it's not like JRPGs are, I'm over, I'm just like,
I mean, I'm skipping through cutscenes at this point.
Yeah,
so. You
know? Nah, you can't do that, man. You gotta run that shit. You gotta just slather that shit on your chest like some honey for your dog to lick.
I do miss on PlayStation when you play Final Fantasy VII to a point where you unlock a cutscene and then those graphics blew your mind.
Yeah.
And they're like nothing you'd ever seen before. But we have all in-game cutscenes. So now there's, I don't know, you have to change the way you tell stories in a way that still makes it exciting. So.
VR.
Oh, it's so tough.
VR.
VR,
that's
baby.
That's the only answer. VR is the answer to everything.
It's VR, and make it, you can have sex with any of the ladies.
Or the boys.
Or the, you know what?
Come on, Clayton.
You're right.
I know the way you're looking at Cloud.
Very, whatever, badly right now. What's the word? Patriarchal, some shit like that. I know what you mean, though, because there used to be, like, the cutscenes were, like, fun, you know? Like, it was like, you're going to fucking, like, see some crazy shit go down where, like, people are getting blown up or magic.
Because you'd never seen
magic.
It before.
Yeah, like, fun
seen,
would happen.
I still go back to the fact of, like, go back and watch Jurassic Park. Like, the CGI in that movie is incredible. You've never seen anything like that before because we hadn't seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
So it's imprinted on our minds being like, that's amazing.
I did go back and watch that recently, and there is a shot of a raptor that looks like it's fucking claymation. I'm like, that looks fucking terrible. When I was a kid, man, I fell for it so hard.
So hard. And I think just because now it is so predominant and because CGI is so inexpensive to make and it's just everywhere, there's a level of being like, well, we're not really shocked by it anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason I think we're going back to stuff like 8-bit. I think there's a reason why we're seeing that sort of aesthetic change that way is because we don't see that much.
Mm-hmm.
Because slick looking graphics happen all the time.
Sure. You know? That's why we like our Shovel Knights. And
yeah, absolutely. Shovel Knight 2 is coming out early next year.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, Shovel Knight is so good. Yeah. Let me. Here's the thing, though.
Sure.
I want to go back to, like, replay Final Fantasy X. It just came out on Steam.
Yeah.
Oh. 10 and 10 2 yeah. is like a package deal. I was like, you know, why the hell not? Maybe yeah. I'll pick this up. And I've, like, found myself stopping right before I bought it and being like, it's going to be terrible. Like, you really? Love it so much, but you're going to go back and try it, and it's like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I know that's what it's going to be.
How many times have you played it?
I've at least twice. Okay. Maybe three times.
Yeah, I don't know if I could play. I love Red Dead Redemption. I played it all the way through three times. I don't know if I need to play it again, though.
Yeah, no. That's the problem I have. Like, I'll sometimes pick up Suikoden in too and be like, you know, maybe me and you, just for a little while. And then it's like, no, it's not going to. It doesn't have the same effect anymore.
Yeah.
I just play it too many times.
If there's like, if I kept great saves on all my games, there may be moments or set pieces within games to play again. Yeah. But I can't. Yeah, I know what you mean. I would so much rather.
I wish
rather,
you could just do that. Too. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah, in Final Fantasy X, if you could get to the big, like kind of pastoral area before you like enter into that final chapter where it's just like the open bosses where it feels like if I could just instantly get to there and just grind in that area, I would fucking love that.
There was a game, Legend of Dragoon, that had some really cool set pieces, but they were all very
late. I ended up giving up on
that
game. Yeah. Yeah.
And I always was like, as a kid, I'd be like, oh man, I don't want to play through this whole fucking game just to get to that one bit, but that one bit is really good.
Final Fantasy VIII, the garden battles. We've talked about this before. That's a great bit.
The assassination stuff is good in that, too, when you're trying to assassinate the sorcerer.
The heisty kind of missions are really cool.
Oh, man, but so much after that is bad.
It's the grinding. It's like, I don't ever need to grind again.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to try.
I mean, so maybe it's a slower pace. Maybe it's a less stakes, you know, because there's something about Persona 4 for me where it's like it's so personal. It's so small that like it doesn't feel as heavy.
It doesn't take itself as seriously as Final Fantasy either. It's a silly game in a lot of ways.
And I guess that's I'm like there's just these Final Fantasy games take themselves so goddamn seriously. Same thing with Resident Evil. Same thing with Metal Gear. I mean, Metal Gear is tongue-in-cheek, but it still takes itself really fucking
serious.
Yes.
Now it takes itself way too seriously, I would say. 4 was, like, taking itself way too seriously.
Yeah.
Like 3 was fun. Yeah. 4 was like, what are you doing, man?
I can't imagine, like, just thinking of Kojima as a guy, just asking him what he thinks about politics now. It's like, that would be an unbearable
He's great on Twitter, man. I like him more and more. I'm sure
he's a
dictator, but he is great to follow on Twitter just because the stuff he's into is, like, boy, wouldn't have guessed that, man. Like, you love taking selfies in front of weird stuff. Like, you seem more and more human every day.
At my daughter's recital.
He's got a weird Lego avatar. He's really into Lego stuff, you know, so it's a small thing.
What a weirdo. I love him. He's nuts. Oh, that guy.
So what have we what have we discovered here? The same... I feel like the same thing we've learned at a lot of discussions we've had, which is that we're in some weird transitional period.
I will say, I don't give the poor guys who make these games enough credit.
No, I don't envy them.
I think a lot of us don't. And I'm like, you know, Kellen, really, like, you put it into words pretty well where it's like, give these guys, like, a little bit of time. You know, like, we do kind of have unreasonable expectations.
Yeah.
Let's maybe look to, like, correct that.
I also don't know if I could do it better. I mean, like,
100%.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
I tried making a game on Unity.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I made
during the winter. Fucking scripting code for a video game is one of the most insane and frustrating things I've ever tried to do. Literally, I created a three-dimensional ball, and I just wanted the ball to roll down a hill and fall into a little cup. That's all I wanted it to do, and the ball would roll down, and then it would clip through the ground, and I was like, I just screamed at the fucking computer. I was like, why does it keep doing this? And I look at the code and I look at other stuff and it was like, this is right. Why does it keep doing this? And I'm like, there are people who are paid to do this.
Yeah.
And they are good at it and they make beautiful stories.
And they love it too.
They love it. They absolutely love it.
And then we like see a weird piece of texture and we're like, fuck this
Fuck those guys. Look at the rain effects. It just, all this is bullshit, man. Fucking 6 out of 10 on this bullshit game.
I was confused by the reviews for Doom. Because a lot of people were saying like, and you know, I hate to put anybody on blast, but IGN was like, you know, kind of saying stuff like, doesn't innovate, doesn't change anything. Oh. And I'm like, I mean, I guess kind of sort. I was touching that metal thing again. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know
Stop
why.
Touching
I just
that
realized
metal.
I was doing that. So. But yeah, like there just a lot of like negative stuff. And in the same vein as like, listen, man, like you're not going to come down on this game for not innovating. Look at every other game.
Right. As long as people get joy out of it, great.
Yeah, and they give Valkyria Chronicles a 8.5, which is just a re-release of a game.
Yep. Over Doom, what did they get? Like a 7?
Like a 7.8, I think.
Doom's also,
but pick up Valkyria Chronicles.
I think IGN, I wonder if they are the reviews are coming out as contrarian to generate more clicks or something else like that, because it seems to me like a lot of their reviews are very odd.
It has been a little bit askew lately.
Yeah.
And I felt like it used to be like pretty on point, and then they were kind of going easy on games for a long time. Yeah. So I thought maybe they were going to crack down, but now it seems like just, I don't know, kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Not feeling it. Not feeling it, boys.
Yeah.
Fix it. Look at you, Tim. I'm looking at you.
I agree.
Great Patreon impression, by the way.
Thank
really
you.
Good.
Boy, you should be Patreon, man.
I'm very curious, briefly, without going too deeply into it.
Yeah.
Do you think you see this in the comedy world? The disease of not wanting to change. People wanted to like, well, why should we change? Why should we iterate?
Boy, I more often see the flip side of that, which
I think I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, like, no way, man. I'm different. I'm like cut from a totally different cloth. And then they see do something and I'm like, well, that wasn't original at all. I've seen that like a million times. Mm-hmm. No offense to those people.
No,
you know, like this is what happens.
Or
we don't
like
know.
They think they're being rebels, but they're just doing like Tim and Eric or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's like you're still kind of doing the thing that I'm familiar with.
Right.
So I wonder if that's part of it too. Like the gaming industry is like, man, we're totally like blowing the lid off this joint, and then they make Final Fantasy 13, and it's like, this is bullshit. This
it's
is
the
same thing I've seen.
It's
like, no, we were like, this was like our whole thing that we were trying to change. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I keep, every once in a while, I think of the conversation that we had with our friend. I can't remember his name, but.
What does he look like?
White guy.
Oh, easy. Easy to
Callan.
Figure out. Yeah.
It's Callan.
Was it me?
One of the gentlemen from the staff that's working on We Are Chicago, where he was like,
oh, yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
You know, so games and comedy are kind of the same because, like, you know, like games fail sometimes and like you guys might go up and have a rough show too. I was like, yeah, but you spend like hundreds of thousands of dollars more on your project than we do on ours.
Yeah.
Failing on stage is part of the job.
Yeah.
If you're not failing on stage, you're not taking any chances.
It's a big deal
you
fail.
You need to fail. That's kind of part of what you're doing up there is trying things, stretching yourself, growing.
But that's what's great about the indie like sort of industry, right? Even though, unfortunately, for the individuals in it, it's not so great when you fail. For like the sort of ecosystem, it's good for it. Because it's like, that will still create dialogue and make new things that are interesting.
Like, there was a piece of this that was amazing.
Yeah.
And that moved us forward this way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think we can all say that we had some varying feelings on Firewatch, but it at least moved. It moved.
I still think about it.
Yeah, I still think about it too.
It's an interesting game.
It is interesting thinking about. I think not less of it, but my esteem for it maybe has plateaued.
Sure.
Same thing with That Dragon Cancer. There's a lot of things where I was like blown away by that. I'm like, you know, the more you think about it, the more you're like,
I feel like what Firewatch succeeded in is it's like my go-to existentialism example in video games.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I know what you mean. And now people can fail for less money with the market.
Yeah, a lot less money. So,
well, boys, this
we solved
this
it.
Was great. We solved it.
Fixed another problem. You know, I did want to talk a little bit about main characters, maybe like more nuanced, you know, kind of characters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, we should do that sometime. So if anyone wants to come on and talk about like trying to have more nuanced main characters,
sure.
less just lawful good protagonists, maybe games you like, there are examples of that.
I'd love to like just
that.
Go through some games and like talk about those characters, about being like, why did a lawful good character succeed? And why specifically are they able to succeed that way versus a more nuanced character? Yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get someone on here to talk
about
that.
Somebody come on
and
talk about that.
Yeah, you do our job for us, audience.
Yo, Clayton, where can people see you?
I play with the Late 90s, which is a Chicago improv troupe, Wednesdays at 10:30 at IO Chicago, which is at... it's on Kingsbury. I don't remember the address. I was going to make it up, but I can't remember. come check that out. Wednesdays, 10:30. $5.
Ooh.
What an unbelievable price. Or just say, Clayton should have put a comp down for me, and they'll probably let you in for free.
All right, yeah.
I've done that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Those interns hate their jobs. So just walk right past them, treat them like the trash they
are. That's not what I'm saying to do.
No, I get it.
No, we get it.
Inferred
the wrong message, friend.
Mm-hmm. Why do you keep winking at me, Clayton? Like
that's Patreon. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Right before Patreon shows up, Kellen, how about you?
You can find me on the internet at Dr. Terrett. I'm going to be in Montreal, Canada this weekend.
Hey,
not doing comedy, but I might do some comedy in front of my girlfriend, and she'll probably roll her eyes. But also, you have to laugh at me. It's my birthday.
What are you doing in Montreal?
I'm just going to eat myself sick.
Some poutine,
some smoked meat, some bagels. It's going to be great.
Yeah, you got to smoke some meat,
some
bagels.
Oh, boy.
Smoke some meat.
I had a little self-deprecating, I had a dumb American white man feeling today when I was talking to AT&T, and they told me I couldn't have my phone work in Canada. I was like, but it's just Canada. What do you mean my data plan doesn't work?
It's other white people.
Come on. I'm not over an ocean. I literally had that thought today, and I hated myself, so I have to put myself on check today. So,
that was smart, dude. They'll charge you.
Oh, they will. They will. And they don't have, like, a data package. I was like, I just want to use my data. I don't need a call. And they're like, well, we don't really have that. You can unlimited talks and texts. And I'm like, you robot. You stupid robot. You know that nobody wants that. I just want to be able to pull up Google Maps and not worry about it.
Right.
So there you go.
As for me, I'm calling in to the aforementioned MBSing 3-year anniversary podcast. So that'll be fun.
Do we have to tell her ahead of time?
There's a schedule.
And I was just gonna call.
It's full already. So
good. Fuck.
You can leave a voicemail.
I thought I could just call during
it.
I didn't read the email. Yeah. I never read the email.
So listen to that. Some of us will be on it.
Yeah.
Maybe all three. Who knows?
Maybe probably. Sounds like.
But yeah.
Imagine that comedians want to hear their own voices.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
Any opportunity to perform?
Well, it looks like it's time for me to sing. So,
what do you want to sing, Clayton, to close out the show?
Okay.
Can we talk real quick, talking musicals?
Oh, yeah.
You guys seen these SpongeBob SquarePants, the musical posters around
town?
Seems a little weird that it's just like a guy. Like, they're not like the characters.
It is weird.
It's a little weird to me where I'm like, who's this aimed at? Like, me or like a kid?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, but then if
and
it wasn't
it just look like Urkel.
If it was,
yeah, he would.
SpongeBob wears just the same outfit.
If
it
was a dude that was in a rubber suit, wouldn't that also be weird?
Oh, that would be super weird.
Yeah,
maybe we shouldn't make a SpongeBob SquarePants fucking musical.
No argument.
Crack the code on that one, my man.
Ching.
Man, that sounds hilarious and really strange.
Really stupid.
Wait, what were we saying?
Book of Mormon's coming back to Chicago, too.
Oh, there we go.
Book of Mormon. I was trying to think if there was something we could all sing from Book of Mormon.
Orlando,
it's not really catchy.
Oh, Orlando, I love you.
Orlando.
Disney and SeaWorld.
Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody.
I remember that one.
Take us out
with one of your catchphrases.
Goodbye, everybody. Horse away.
Thanks, Ghost Horse.
Oh.
Bye, everyone.
Seahorse? What sort of horse was that?
Horsey. The horse.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today. And go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.